This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This recording is by Mark Smith of Simpsonville, South Carolina. Uncle Remus by Joel Chandler Harris. We're working on Volume 4, his sayings. This one is entitled Turnip Salad as a Text. As Uncle Remus was going down the street recently, he was accosted by several acquaintances. "Hey, yo," said one. "Here comes Uncle Remus. He looks like he's going for to set up a boarding house." Several others bantered the old man, but he appeared to be in a good humor. He was carrying a huge basket of vegetables. "How many of you boys," said he as he put his basket down, "is done a hand's turn this day? And yet the week's done commence. I hear talk of niggers that's got money in the bank, but I lay it ain't none of you fellas. Where you spec you're going to get your dinner, and how you spec you're going to get along?"
"Oh, we sort of knocks round and picks up a living," responded one.
"That's what make I say what I does," said Uncle Remus. "Folks go about in the daytime and makes a living, and you come along when they are resting their bones and picks it up. I ain't no hand at figures, but I lay I can count up right here in the sand and number up how many days it'll be for you are coupled on to the chain gang."
"The old man's hollering now, sure,"
said one of the listeners, gazing with admiration on the venerable old darky. "I ain't taking no chances about vittles. It's proned into me from the first that I got to eat, and I knows that I got for the grub for what I gets. It's against the mortal law for niggers for to eat when they don't work, and when you see 'em apparently fattin' on air, you can just bet that ruination's goin' on somewheres. I got mustard and poke salad and lamb's quarter in dat basket, and me and my old woman gwine to sample it. If any you boys get a invite, you come. But if you don't, you better stay away. I got a musket out there what's used to persuadin' round where there's a cripple nigger. Don't you forget dat off on your mind." End of the saying. Saying number 5, a confession. "What's dis year I see? Great big niggers gwine lopin' round town with cakes and pies for to sell?" said Uncle Remus recently in his most scornful tone.
"That's what they're doing," responded a young man. "That's the way they make a living."
"Dat what make I say what I does. Dat what keep me grumbling when I goes in colored folks society. Some niggers ain't going to work nohow, and it's flinging way time fur to set any chain gang traps fur to catch 'em."
"Well, here now," exclaimed the young man in a dramatic tone, "what are you giving us now? Isn't it just as honest and just as regular to sell pies as it is to do any other kind of work?"
"'Tain't dat, boss," said the old man, seeing that he was about to be cornered. "'Tain't dat. It's the nastiness of it which gets me."
"Oh, get out!"
"Dat's me, boss, up and down. If there's ruination anywhere in the known world, she goes into company of a hungry nigger what's a-totin' pies round. Sometimes when I get caught with emptiness in the pit of the stomach, and get to fairly honin' after something what got substance in it, then it look like unto me that I can stand flat-footed and make more clear money eatin' pies than I could if I were to sell the last one twixt this and Christmas. And a nigger what can traipse round with pies and not get in no alleyway and sample 'em, then I'm bleeds to say, dat nigger out niggers me and my family, so dare now."
End of saying. Saying number 6, Uncle Remus with the toothache.
When Uncle Remus put in an appearance one morning recently, his friends knew he had been in trouble. He had a red cotton handkerchief tied under his chin, and the genial humor that usually makes his aged face its dwelling place had given way to an expression of grim melancholy. The young men about the office were inclined to chaff him, but his look of sullen resignation remained unchanged.
"What revival did you attend last night?" inquired one. "What was the color of the mule that did the hammering?" asked another. "I was told the old man that a suburban chicken coop would fall on him," remarked someone. "A strange pig has been squealing in his ear," suggested someone else. But Uncle Remus remained impassive. He seemed to have lost all interest in what was going on around him, and he sighed heavily as he seated himself on the edge of the trash box in front of the office. Finally, someone asked in a sympathetic tone, "What's the matter, old man? You look like you've been through the mill." "Now you're knocking. I ain't been through the mill since day 'fore yesterday, den dey ain't no mills in de land. If one of dese yere excursion trains had runned over me, I couldn't have been worse off. I been trompin' round in de low grounds now gwine on 75 year, but I ain't seen no sich times as dat which I done seen now. Boss, is any of you all ever wrastled with the toothache?"
"Oh, hundreds of times. The toothache isn't anything."
"Then you just played around de ages. You ain't had the kind what cotch me on de underjaw. You might have had a gum bile, but you ain't been bothered with the toothache. I was settin' up talkin' with my old woman, kind of puzzlin' round fur to see what the next meal's vittles was a-gwine to come from, and I feel a little ache, sort of crawlin' long on my jawbone, kind of feelin' his way. But the ache don't stay long. He sort of hankered round like, and then croaked back where he come from. By-and-by, I feel him comin' again, and this time it looked like he come up closer, kind of skirmishin' round for to see how the land lay. Then he went off. Presently I feel him comin', and this time it looked like he carried the news unto Mary, for it feel like there was another one with him. They crep up, and they crep round, and then they crope off. By and by, they come back, and this time they come like they wasn't feared of the surroundings, for they trot right up into the tooth, sort of examine it like, and then trot all round it, like these yere circuous horses. I sought there mighty calm, but I expected that something was going to happen.
And it happened, did it? Asked someone in the group surrounding the old man.
"Boss, don't you forget it," responded Uncle Remus fervidly. "When dem aches gallop back, dey gallop fur to stay, and dey was so mixed up that I couldn't tell one from de other. All night long dey racked and dey galloped, and when dey got tired of racking and galloping, dey all closed in on de old tooth and thumped it and gouged at it till it appeared unto me they had the jawbone loosened up, and was trying fur to fetch it up through the top of my head and out at the back of my neck. And it got worse next day. Mars John, he seed I was distracted, and he told me fur to go round here and get something put on it. And the drug man, he allowed that I better have her drawed, and his words wasn't more cold for one of these yere whatchamacallums, one of these, Dennis man's had retched for it with a pair of tongs what don't turn loose when they catches a holt. Leastways, they didn't with me. You ought to see dat tooth, boss. Hit was one of dese yer four-prong fellers. If she'd a growed wrong end outward, I'd a been a bad nigger long after I joined the church. You yeared me, hun?"
End of saying.